أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله this class is a continuation to the series Quran 101. Or what we should know about the Quran. And like I said, it is not an attempt to do interpretation to the Quran. That's not the subject. The subject, it is some of the tools that it can help us. If we understand them, we will have a better understanding to the Quran. That's the purpose of that class. Once we finish that, we will try to do, inshallah, study together the interpretation of the Quran according to the best school of thoughts and the best scholars that they did the interpretation during the whole history. We have Shawkani, we have Sabuni, we have Al-Maraghi, we have Sha'rawi, we have so many scholars. And inshallah, we will try to apply and learn the interpretation of the Quran according to that later on. And the last time I was talking about the Quran as a miracle, and we found out what does the word miracle mean, and we found out the difference between and I talked about the attributes of the miracle, and I talked about why they come, and I talked about the difference between the word messenger and the word prophet, and what is the job of each and how we distinguish in between. And also I talked about the Quran as a unique miracle, that it does not only represent the God act, but it represents also a God commitment, and it is representing a God, it is a living commitment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have it. And this miracle, it is still among us in a form of the book of the Quran. One of the classification that we had before is we divided the Quran, or the way that we looked at the Quran is a two major area. There are some ayat, verses for legislation, and we call those al-ayat al-shar'iyya, and those for legislation to all aspects of life. And there are some other type of ayat we call the ayat al-kawniyya, which is the universal ayat, science, which represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us and those a description to some of the signs, or how he created that come, that universe, like how he created maybe water, heaven, earth, the sun, and whatever. And in those type of creation, the first one, it's already well defined and sealed. The ayat al-kawniyya, it is lifted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it till the day of judgment for the interpretation. So the more the people they acquire knowledge, the more they know the value, and they know the authentication of the Quran. And I give example about one of the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used, one out of millions, in the Quran at the end of the Surah Yasin about the trees. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الشَّجَرِ الْأَخْضَرِ نَارًا إِذْ أَنتُم مِّنْهُ تُوقِدُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created from the green trees a substance that you can use it to set your fire. And I said, for a very simple man, it makes a whole a lot of sense. For scientists, he can see a whole a lot more, because the scientist is going to focus on the word green, which it means a chloroform, and chloroform, it means what? Exchange between the gas, the second oxide of carbon, and the oxygen. And without oxygen, there is no fire. So that gives more and more. And based on that, there is something in the Quran, it's called the level of the word, and that's part of the miraculous aspects of it, is that you don't have to have a certain background to understand the Quran. you know, to appreciate a medical book, you have to have a medical background. To appreciate economic book, economy book, you have to have economy background, and all aspects of life. But here, you get with the word of the level of the word that you will, based on your level, you will get the right meaning. But the depth of it depends on the level of your knowledge and experience and expertise. So all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it in the Holy Quran. Why? To provide the support, to provide the authentication, not only to one generation, but to all generations till the Day of Judgment. You will be overwhelmed, like I was overwhelmed. Okay, as a naive young man, get impressed by science in the beginning. I read a whole lot of attempts and books, try to relate science, the scientific discoveries, to the Quran, and as a mean to say, hey, the Quran got this. And I found out, excuse me, you prove science by Quran, you don't prove the Quran by science. Especially the latest theory in the scientific methodology of developing anything, I was shocked to death to see that it was vividly described in the Quran 1400 years ago, and no way, form, or shape anybody in that time, even if we had very brilliant people like Galileo's and others that know about this methodology. Basically, the mankind all the time, even up to today, if you wanna have a degree like a PhD, you work on a project. Basically, what we have on things in the scientific development, we start by what is called observation. And after the observation, we try to get to what is called theories. Theories, it is attempt to explain the observation. I have the sun coming up from that angle, tomorrow from different angle, tomorrow from a different angle. Maybe today it didn't come up. I mean, in the sense of I didn't see it, whatever that is. Collect the observation, I try to give explanation. And this explanation, it end up to be theory. Right? And theory, down the road, it can be proven right, it can be proven wrong. Till we get to what it called scientific fact. Scientific fact means what? The explanation, it can be implemented anywhere, anytime. It is good in Russia, it is good in South America, it is good, this gives the same result, like 1 plus 1. So now we have scientific, fact. That's the way that the mankind mentality developed. Even in researches, in discoveries, in everything, we are going that direction. The latest, and even it is still now in the scientific arena, is still as a baby, this methodology. It says what? It says no. I will give my hypothesis. I will give my assumptions. And I'm not going to give the assumptions. I'm going to give the assumptions of why this, what I think. But for you to accept or not, your effort is to come and to defeat those assumptions. That means to prove them wrong. I'm going to try to prove them right, but you prove them wrong as one who will accept them. So you don't agree with me by saying yes, this. Yes, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong, or maybe you missed this one. But if you prove me wrong, now we are in development. We are in development. And here is you're going to see, and we're going to study with each other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing the whole entire theory from A to Z and all the aspects of it in Surah Al-Baqarah. Inshallah, we will get into it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن كنتم في شك مما أنزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة من مثله وادعوا شهداءكم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين. That means I am not going to give you the evidence about the authentication of the Quran. Muhammad is a man like you. The sources of knowledge, if you are claiming that he made it, all you need to do is come up with one like it. If one man can do something, another man can do it, and even can do it better than it. If you have a doubt about what Muhammad did, so the effort now is going to prove only what Muhammad did is right or wrong, but the effort going is what? No, you have the right to prove that he is wrong by having something similar. Or by another word, defy or challenge the element of what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying. And up to now, no one even tried. So that was one of the categories, and we found out the Quran as a miracle, or one of the classification of the Quran. So when you study the Quran, you can be looking at either the legislative part, and that's fixed, sealed, no touch, and the other one is right wide open, and it is controlled by what we call the level of the word. That's one classification to the Quran. There is another classification to the Quran, completely different, and looking at the Quran from a complete different view, and probably inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, I will mix the two approach while we are studying. I will mix them both while we are studying. In a certain period, I'm going to use one. In another, I'm going to use the second. But the major one is the one that I'm going to explain today, because that's the one who's going to help you a lot to set the foundation of what help you to understand. Is we're going to classify the ayah, the surah. And we know the Quran consists of 114 surah. And every sentence we call it ayah. So the chapter is a surah, and the sentence is ayah. Sorry. We're going to classify them to Makkiyan surah and Madaniyan surah. Makkiyan surah, it means that ayat was revealed in Mecca, in the area of Mecca, or the suburb of Mecca, the surrounding of Mecca. And Madaniyan surah, that means it was revealed in Medina and the suburb of Medina. But why we are doing that distinction? Because we're going to find out that each one of them has a complete distinct goal to accomplish, and got a complete different set and a complete different environment and a complete different issue it is dealing with. But let me quick, very very quick, before I go to the element, right, to give you some ideas. In Mecca, what was the challenge? The challenge, it was in the accepting the fundamentals, right or wrong, the reaction of the people, believing or not. What was the reaction of the people believed, and what the reaction of the people did not believe? What kind of a type of argument that the people that they did not believe had in the beginning? What kind of a behavior they had, and what is the proper way of returning that or answering to that? So you got an environment in here. When we go to the Medina, the case is different. you have the majority already believe. So the prime there, it was the individual. Here the prime is what? The community. I have a very diverse community in Medina. I have the immigrant, and they having their own set of problems. I have the people, the native of the Medina, and they have their own different set of problems. I have Ahlul Kitab. I have the majority of Ahlul Kitab in that time, they were the Jews. I have three major tribes of Judaism. They were there, they were citizens, and they were there forever. You have three major tribes there. So, and at the same time, you have the hypocrite. You have the people that they do what? They show something and they do something because where is the flow is going. So now, you got an economic problem, you got an integration problem, you have a communication problem, you have a religious problem, and you have to settle all of those. How you deal with all of those? How you gonna make the whole thing work with each other? A complete different set, a complete different need. So here it comes. I'm gonna go back to the Makkiyan Surah. The first element that you're going to see on this, the Makkiyan Surah, why I'm saying this? Because please, when you are studying, look at the title. And in the title, in a lot of Quran, you will see right by it, it says the word Makkiyah. It is in Mecca. Okay, based on the element that I'm going to tell you now, have a piece of paper, make it as a template. Right? When I see a Makkiyan Surah, I am expecting to see those elements. I didn't read anything yet. Right? But I'm expecting to see those. Madaniyan, I'm expecting to see those. Now, when I'm reading, some of the things is going to grab your attention if you are adopting that approach, is you're going to find them. While you are going, you're going to say, this is the element there, this element. You look at how it was described and why and what was the reason of revelations and what it meant and what is the impact of it. That's going to give you a lot more decent understanding. You go and flip, you take another surah from the same kind, you have the same template, but you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described those by a different way or different priorities in different circumstances. So that will do reinforcement to a concept, give more clarification or more adding to it, or better understanding overall. So when we go back now to the Makkiyan Surah, one of the major things is going to be answering the allegation of the non-believer. The non-believer here, or the non-believer by the message of Islam, they were only the people who believed before, originally. But generation after the other, they started to worship the statues. And we find out already from the study that how the people got about worshipping statues and how they started. And we found out that the issue of the allegation, it was never ever what Muhammad is wrong, but the issue all the time it was what Muhammad saying is harmful, what Muhammad is coming up with is very bad. It's very bad for the economy. It is very bad for the family. It is very for our fame. It is for our glory, for our status. I have to challenge all of that. Okay, now Muhammad coming to say there is only one deity, one God, and I have 360 gods right around the Kaaba, and each tribe has its own favorite gods. That means I have a pilgrim season, very, very heavy. The economy is in really prosperity here. You come and you cancel all of that, you aggravate all of those people, you shut down all of those people, and you want to keep single one down there. You are killing the economy, man. I don't care what you are saying is right or wrong, you are killing the economy. You know what I mean? So I have to challenge you, I have to prove you wrong. But in my heart, I know you are right. But the impact is bad. Okay, another thing, like down the road, when they started to prosecute Muslims, they did everything that they can to fight against Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He really went through a whole lot. And the early believer went through a whole lot. Some dignitary, four of them, top leaders. Actually, you are coming up to also another thing, that it was Muhammad coming and say everybody is equal. You mean to tell me I am equal to my slave that I buy and I can kill and I can sell and I can do everything to him? Are you crazy? You are insulting me, man. Do you want me to take that? Muhammad coming to separate in the family. He is a troublemaker, because some believe in the family, some they didn't. So these are all major issues. Also another thing, looking for glory. One time, four top elite, they sat down with each other and they say, listen, a guy by the name Umar ibn Hisham, his nickname is Abu Jahl, the man with ignorance. And he said, nobody with us now. We know from Muhammad profile that he is very honorable man. And we all also know that he is right, because simply one of the tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you is your conscience. By your conscience, you know what is right and what is wrong. When you see somebody violating somebody else's right, don't give me a justification, don't bother, because everybody knows what's right and what's wrong. Okay, so now we all know that Muhammad is right, but let every one of us give the reasons why we are fighting that bad against him. And here you go, Umar ibn Hisham, he came and said, listen, I am, for one, know that he is right. I know he is right. But here is how it works. His family had a reputation by being generous to the pilgrim. My family had to do the same. They spend $1, we spend $1 and cent. They do favors, we do favors. They have the leaders and they have the knights. Oh, shut the door, please. They have the leaders, we have the leaders. All the time we are competing and we are eye to eye, my tribe with his tribe. Now, if we're going to believe that he is a messenger of God, where are we going to get one for us? That's automatically going to give them the upper hand. So the issue here is not the authentication of what Muhammad is saying, or right or wrong. The problem is this. The minute that I say